Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Yeah, good morning to all of you out there. Hope that you are ready to get into this busy political day today. We're watching, everyone is watching as the drama in Washington, D.C. continues to unfold over apparently nothing. Most interesting, the director of national intelligence is about to appear before a congressional committee where it is all political theater. Now, here's the question I ask, though. You think this political theater that's going on in Washington, D.C., do you think it's going to lead to the House actually impeaching Trump? We know he's not going to be convicted in the Senate. We all know that. But what would be the impact in Oregon if, in fact, the Democrats go forward with this? How will that change the narrative in the 2020 elections that are coming up here on a whole host of issues? What do you think about that, friends? We're going to talk about that today. We've also got an interesting story that I think is, well, it's very important to those of us who have value our Second Amendment right. There's this red flag law, you know, that got passed in Oregon? Well, a former Marine is appealing the loss of his guns because he made remarks about Antifa. Now, here's the question. Is this a guy who's mentally unstable, former Marine who's had some psychological issues and professional help because of it from the VA? Is he really a threat? Is this exactly what this red flag law was intended to do? Or did he simply state his First Amendment rights, a free speech, and it's being taken too far? Now, here's the reason I ask this question, friends. Because Donald Trump is proposing, at least from what we hear, I don't know if it's true or not, friends, but he's at least proposing some kind of federal red flag law. Where does this go? Do you trust that both bureaucrats and politicians won't take, that this is the camel with the nose under the tent, right? They won't take license with this to expand it beyond. Now, we have clearly have experience with this in Oregon. Michael Strickland was, well, really a victim of this very thing, of over-aggressive prosecutors, politically correct prosecutors, trying to make a name for themselves in Multnomah County and in Portland. Going forward with this, well, could only be described, since we're talking witch hunt these days, only can be described as a witch hunt against a guy who drew his gun in self-defense after being threatened by Antifa folks. Okay? He got convicted of that. Now, he's under appeal and has hired a very expensive lawyer out of Los Angeles to do this, to handle his appeal. We'll see how this turns out. But my point is that overzealous prosecutors decided to go after him, to send a message. And that's really what they've done here. So, is a red flag law, is this story today in the Oregonian, you can see it on OregonWatchdog.com, is this former Marine who's appealing the loss of his guns, apparently is the first person to have his guns taken away from him under this red flag law. Now, he's going to appear in Clackamas County Circuit Court today. He's a resident of Canby, and he's going to represent himself. He said Wednesday, yesterday, that he was using psychological warfare. Everything he said, everything I said, I quote here from this article, everything I said was protected speech, unquote. Okay. So, how far can our rights go to free speech, and how far can the right of a Second Amendment be protected under these kinds of laws? Well, you know where all of this is going to end up, friends, and this is why elections matter. This is why it's so important for you and I to be involved in politics. You know, John Adams had that famous statement, and it's the sad thing about politics is it's necessary for us to maintain our liberty. He said, John Adams said, if men were angels, there would be no need for laws. Yes, that's right. Men are not angels. People are not angels. People say and do things they shouldn't. Now, my view as a guy who sits behind a microphone every day and talks is that you got to be careful about what you say. Because words mean things. They really do. Now, we've taken that to the extreme in this country. I mean, you know, ever since Bill Clinton, you know, said, we're going to argue about the meaning of the word is, well, we are where we are. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about this today. Also, at the bottom of the hour, I want to let you know I've got a great interview with James Loftus, who is a visionary. He's a bed and breakfast owner of the Gardner House out in Staten, Oregon. He's a friend of mine. He has a small museum dedicated to his father, who was a 42-year NASA employee and a guy who was kind of a big wheel there. James has put together, and when I say he's a visionary, he really is. He put together an opportunity with the charter school that I am blessed to have continued to lead as a founder of the charter school, Oregon Connections Academy. We're going to talk with him about a powerful program that allows students to have interaction with NASA officials in live broadcasts. Never been done before. And it's going to be done in Oregon. And it really is life-changing. And it's not just for our students. Oregon Connections Academy is a virtual. So in other words, it's an online public charter school. Our kids learn online on a computer from all over the state. We have like 4,000-plus students in our school. This is an opportunity for those students, many of whom are rural kids, to understand the opportunities to get engaged in science and technology and engineering and math and all the great things, well, that we need in a space program. Because what has Trump done? Well, he's created the Space Force. You want to talk about opportunities for the future where technology intersects? This is a powerful thing, friends, and I know you're going to love this interview because, frankly, we need your help, and you'll learn about how we can, each one of us, can help. So today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the red flag law. Does it interfere with our Second Amendment rights? Does it interfere with our First Amendment right? How far can you go in saying things, whether you mean them or not? And just because you own guns, and just because you wear a Make America Great Again cap in an interview, does that make you a threat to others? Or has he actually done things that threaten others? Can you say things and not follow through with them that end up, well, being the victim of a red flag law? Now, why do I use the word victim? Because I think, as Michael Strickland was and is, Michael Strickland is clearly a victim, in my opinion, of an overzealous prosecutorial and politically correct mentality in Multnomah County. Again, we'll see how that all turns out, but I think this is very dangerous ground for us, folks. Very dangerous ground. The reason we have a red flag law is to stop people who are truly mentally ill from getting guns and using them on people. That's the whole point behind the red flag law, right? Well, Trump has clearly signaled that he's willing to consider this kind of thing. But is it the camel with the nose under the tent, right? How far does this go? How far will politically correct politicians take this? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220 is that number if you want to call and give me your opinion on this. This is very serious stuff. The reason that you and I are free as Americans today is because the founders of this country not only had a commitment to liberty and put it in a document called the Declaration of Independence, but because the enforcement of those words, of those concepts, that man's rights come from God and not government. The enforcement of that was the citizenry, those people yearning to be free, to come out from the tyranny of the crown, having guns, folks. And yes, guns equal to what the army had. So when you hear this say that sounds really politically correct, right? Ordinary citizens don't need weapons of war. Well, let me tell you, we wouldn't be free today. We would not be America today if the citizens back then didn't have weapons of war. Is this just another assault on the Second Amendment? Is it just another assault on our liberty and our ability to keep our republic? What do you think? 503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. And, of course, you can always send me an email to jeff at 1220.am. I'm worried about this, folks, and I have to tell you, because this is Oregon. This is politically correct Oregon. Now, it's not as blue as everybody thinks it is, but it's still blue enough. Now, if you read through this story in the Oregonian about this former Marine, and is the first paragraph gives away a lot of the story. It says a former Marine whose remarks against anti-fascist activists prompted authorities to seize his gun under Oregon's new red flag law, and he will ask a judge to overturn the order. Now, this is one of the central complaints. Is that somebody can make a complaint against you and say you've said these things, and you can lose your Second Amendment right, at least temporarily, and now you got to go spend money and time and effort to go to court to restore those rights. Is that due process? Is that appropriate due process? Now, in this case, members of the Portland FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force sought one of these ERPOs, Extreme Risk Protection Orders, against this guy's name is Shane Conefield. He's 32 years old. After he appeared at a protest outside of the Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler's home during a speech. So this is not something that somebody's alleged you said. This is something he said, that he threatened to slaughter Antifa activists if they tried to kill him or other conservatives. Is that making a statement about standing up and defending yourself under the law? Is that free speech? Or is that a threat? Is he a terrorist?
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the bottom of the hour. The phone lines are full. Apparently, we've hit a nerve here. And that's a good thing, because this is really serious stuff. Because you know what? If they can do this, if they can use a red flag law to take away your guns based on free speech, is speech really free? And can any of your rights that come from God, not government, can any of them be upheld if we make exceptions for them? You trust government? Yeah, well, I served in government, folks, in the House of Representatives, and I know how this goes. We're seeing it play out right now in this hearing on Capitol Hill. We're going to get to the phones in a moment. I want to remind you that you really ought to try CannaShield CBD oil. Now, why do I say that? CannaShield is what Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care sells. They're down on South Commercial right next to Safeway. It's good stuff. Now, it's not only good stuff because it's where I buy my CBD oil, but let me tell you why it's even more important. Because it is only produced from oil grown in Oregon, under Oregon's incredibly strict. And I'm telling you, I'm a guy who's about one day away from harvesting my hemp in Oregon for CBD oil. And I can tell you, there are very strict rules. You can be assured that if you buy CannaShield CBD, it's not only the highest quality, but it isn't full of all kinds of stuff that might be bad for you. Because some of the stuff that comes from other countries is. Because it ain't grown to our standards. Now, you don't just have to go down to Vim on South Commercial next to Safeway. You can actually go to their website. You can order and buy online. Go to vimsalem.com. V-I-M-Salem.com. Vimsalem.com. Check it out, folks. You'll be glad you did. All right, to the phones. And we'll start first with Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. What do you say?
Good morning. I'm calling because I heard a while back another Marine from Washington who said that his wife divorced him, and to get the kids, she accused him of being mentally unstable. And that then they came and got his guns, and he has not been able to get them back, even though he can demonstrate in court that he's mentally stable. So this is not just tied to free speech. It's tied to, I believe, two things that Obama did. One, when Obama first got into office, he issued a white paper out to all the judges and people who had any decision-making power. And the white paper said that Christians, pro-lifers and veterans were unstable and should be monitored. And then he also passed Obamacare, which ties your mental health to the ownership of guns.
So fair enough. You know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that is the perfect extension of why we're concerned about this. It's a perfect reasoning. It's a great story. And I've forgotten that, yes, that white paper talked about how Christians and pro-lifers and people with guns might be mentally unstable.
And veterans. And it veterans, identified veterans.
That's an amazing thing. Rebecca, thank you. I got to move on. I appreciate it. Art, you're up next. Art, what do you have to say this morning?
I always got a lot to say, you know that, Jeff. First of all, let me say I'm considering going out and buying an AR-15 for myself to defend.
That's pretty good for being a black guy.
Well, of course, Jeff. I mean, I have the right to defend myself just like everybody else. And I am coming to the point where I believe, you know, in case of a natural disaster, you know, what kind of rioting and stuff would there be? And I know my wife won't use a gun, and so who does that leave? Me. And let me tell you, if there's rioters or people breaking into my house, whatever, I have the right to defend myself, just like that disabled guy who was in a wheelchair that shot and killed two of the three people breaking into his house. You know, who had guns. So, yes, Jeff, I have the right to keep and bear arms just like every other American and defend myself as a blind person. And if I have to, I should, you know, I should have the weapon I need to do that. Now, also, saying that, I did want to talk about one more thing. Yesterday, you kind of disagreed with me about the House voting to you know, impeach our president. And I was wondering if you had reconsidered after the last 24 hours, because I know the Republicans, especially Lindsey Graham, says, come on, vote. We want to know just exactly how you are. isn't going to be a vote. This is all theatrics. And I hope they do vote, Jeff, just like Lindsey Graham does.
Well,
but I don't think they have the guts to do that.
Art, I'll have to answer your question later because I got to let you go because I got to move on to Ron before we get to the bottom of the hour. I think firmly that, yes, Nancy Pelosi is going to move to an impeachment vote. I think they're going to do it. I don't think she's going to be able to control it. I think this is all going to explode. Let's go to Ron, who's on the line. Ron, good morning. Go.
I think the biggest problem is that the case with them, you know, I think the old rule of a man who represents himself is a fool. But the way they got the hearsay, 7819 Alpha, the Airpol law, it's meant to undermine free speech. It meant to silence you. It meant to basically to take away dissension from the oligarchs. I mean, you've got the Prozanskis, the Burdicks, the Dimbros, even Lou Fredrickson, who's a representative of color from the Portland area, and he's a veteran, or Manning, and they don't care. The real thing is, they're going to get exemptions. They're going to have security. They have the means and economics to be secure. Common folks like ourselves, even at $100,000 or less, we don't have that right or liberty, especially if you're running about like I am. And I'm told I can't carry a firearm on my job. So what's going to happen if I have Antifa come out on the roadway acting stupid and everything? What am I supposed to do?
Well,
you know? And it's not right. I mean, by the time you call law enforcement, especially downtown Portland, they don't respond in 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Good points. Good points, Ron. Good points. You could be dead by the time a cop would show up.
Yep.
An Antifa activist decided to beat you over the head with a pipe or a baseball bat. Ron, thank you for your comments. It's 6:30.
God bless you.
James Loftus in a great interview about space and technology and school.
Faces as they march through town to the riverside, they baptize believers in this celebration of
peace. Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes before the top of the hour. Friends, you know, I am so blessed to not only be behind this microphone, but have the opportunity to help guide generations of new kids in Oregon in the public school system through Oregon Connections Academy. It's the largest virtual online public charter school in the state. And we are announcing an exciting opportunity for these kids who are all over Oregon. In fact, many of them are rural kids who don't have access to some of the great programs maybe that a big city school district might have. And one of those things is a joint venture between Oregon Connections Academy and another great local organization called the JPL Museum. And it's a new program. JPL Museum is a local museum from my friend James Loftus that is dedicated to the memory of his father, who had spent a long career with NASA. And they've developed a joint venture between Oregon Connections Academy and JPL, which is a local museum in Staten, a program called Radios. And we're going to talk about that with James Loftus, who joins us right now. James, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me on your show this morning.
All right. What is Radios program and how does it all work?
Well, Radios, unlike its predecessor, stands for Remote and Distant Interactive Online Sessions. NASA really likes acronyms, so I had to find one that kind of fit with what we were trying to do. And what we're trying to do is provide educational opportunities in partnership with Space Center Houston and NASA Alumni League to do remote and distant broadcasting or distant learning programs from Space Center Houston. And so NASA Alumni League has agreed to provide cameos with active and retired NASA engineers on the different modules that Space Center Houston will be broadcasting. And we originally got a grant for doing four broadcasts, But by the time I was finished with the demand that was requested of us, we took care of not only Orca, but we added another, I want to say, 16 broadcasts for schools out in eastern Oregon, as far out as Enterprise and Athena. And the objective here is that we want to try to change the world view of these children and let them know that there's a broader world out there than just cutting trees or hay or working at the dairy farm. We want to provide them with the experience of interacting with these people, and a lot of them have actually grown up in rural areas. And when you ask a student, you know, who came from Wapakoneta, Ohio, none of them can answer that question. But if you ask, do you know who John Glenn is, everybody knows that name. So we're trying to find the next John Glenn. And the way we look at it is that there's an ocean of resources sitting at these NASA facilities. And we want to act as the pipeline to bring those into Oregon schools.
Fantastic. I mean, it's this, to my knowledge, this has never been done before out of NASA, has it?
Well, they have a few years ago, and that's kind of what started it off, was last year when Norm Chaffee, I brought him up. He's a NASA engineer that developed the propulsion system. He's also considered the father of robotics for NASA.
And he also rural kid from Oklahoma, right?
That is correct.
And he rose to become the and you brought him up. I've met him and we've chatted. He rose to become an incredibly influential person, the father of robotics at NASA. That's a big deal. And that came from a kid from a rural, underserved part of Oklahoma. And that's what's really kind of the base of this, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, he was focused on the petrochemical industry at that time that was booming in Oklahoma. And so that's where he was focused. And when NASA announced that they were going to Johnson Space Center, he immediately put an application in and was hired. So he moved to Texas and started with NASA in the propulsion field. And so as we were driving around, I think we were outside of La Grande, or maybe it was La Pine, and he... He said, you know, James, I used to have a studio in Building 9, and I did these distant learning programs with some of these schools in Texas. And he says, all that equipment got cleared out and brought over to Space Center Houston, and the guy that used to run our distant learning program is now over there at Space Center Houston. And so Laura Dillon with Orca had contacted us and asked, is there any way to put together an online program that we can that the students could access? And so I said, well, I went to Houston in March and I sat down with them and we kind of hammered out the details and we're in the final stages. Even though tomorrow we start broadcasting, I've still got a bunch of work that we have to do with Space Center Houston because this is going to be done every month over the next academic school year, except for December and July. Those are the only 2 months that we'll not be broadcasting because of school schedules.
How does this work? So we're going to have kids who are learning online at Orca are going to be able to log on to a website and participate in a live interactive broadcast with these folks from Houston Space Center?
That's correct. Dave Vassen, your principal, has a program called Live Lessons, and it's basically a blackboard that he can invite the students to participate. And I think last count we had over 350 students that are participating in tomorrow's broadcast. And 13.5% of those are sixth graders. So I'm still working on trying to compile all the numbers of the participants. But, yes, the idea is that Space Center Houston uses GoToMeeting. They'll get an invitation from Live Lessons, and then they link the two programs together. And then Dave acts as a moderator between the students and Space Center Houston.
This sounds incredibly exciting. So let me ask you this. How are you paying for all of this? I mean, this can't be done just with existing funds because schools are already strapped if you listen to them. So how are you paying for this?
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, when I approached the schools in Eastern Oregon, I had one school that wanted to pay $2,500 to participate, and I told them that I would not accept money from the school, that if the community wanted to fund it, then that would be fine. But I do not want to take money from the school budget. If the community wants it and they see value to it, then let the local business owners, let the local families, you know, let them all pitch in. But to get directly to your question, we were funded through Pacific Power's Pacific Corps Foundation. We also got a grant from Santiam Hospital, and I retasked some funds that we had in our budget because I realized we could make a larger impact on these students, and at a cost of a couple of bucks a session per student, I decided that we couldn't afford not to do this, and that's why we went to 25 sessions. I figured that's a good rollout. It gives me a lot of experience, and I can fix whatever problems that we encounter this year, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again next year. This is a pilot program that we hope will expand. And the other thing that we're trying to do to help solidify what we're doing with the radios program is we have our Rural Schools Education Initiative, where we actually sponsor the NASA engineer from Space Center Houston and bring them to Oregon. So we're going to be bringing Jim McBaron up next month. The hospital at Santiam in Staten at 6 p.m. on October 30th is an open forum where anybody in the public can come meet Jim McBaron. And I believe 10 Barrels donated a keg of beer, so we'll go have brews with the crew after
of course.
after the presentation here in Staten. But we're actively right now looking for schools in the Willamette Valley that would like us to come visit them. We have about a 45 to 50-minute presentation, and the idea is to show them, you know, the teamwork that's necessary to pull together a project, and it takes all facets of talents from, you know, attorneys to bean counters to engineers to seamstress, especially when you're talking about doing a flexible spacecraft, which is what a spacesuit is. You have to have all of your life support systems. You have to have your waste management systems. You're a mobile city in that little spacecraft called your spacesuit. And we're putting you into the most harshest environment known to mankind. And so Jim's got 38 and a half years with NASA, and he was the personal tailor for every astronaut from Mercury to the International Space Station in the sense that he designed their spacesuits. He was also given a Presidential Medal of Honor recipient for his role in Apollo 13. So he's got some great stories to share with these kids and to inspire them. That's the whole objective, is if you can inspire and excite them, then the kids can be open to dreaming and figuring out what they want to do with their life. And that's the objective, is change the trajectory of where they're at. Give them some hope. Show them that even though they're in a remote area, what matters is their intelligence. What matters is the education they get. I have a saying, ignorance is an equal opportunity employer.
Amen to that, and it is. So Jim McBaron is coming up. He's this longtime NASA spacesuit designer and tailor, and he's going to be coming up. The public can have an opportunity to meet him just generally on October 30th. But you guys are also driving out across the state, going to a lot of these high schools, right?
Yeah, the city of Pendleton, the Umatilla County Commissioners, and the St. Anthony's Hospital in Pendleton, as well as a local farmer, have all sponsored us to come out to Eastern Oregon. So we're spending a week in Eastern Oregon from October 20th to the 25th. Then we fly back to the Willamette Valley, and we'll spend the week of 28th through November 1st visiting with schools in the Willamette Valley. So yesterday I sent out an email to all of the schools that I could find that were high school level in the Tri-County area, being Lynn, Marion, and some portions of Clackamas and some portions of Polk County.
So we've got just a few seconds left. Your JPL Museum is taking donations as a 501c3. These are tax-deductible donations to help sponsor this effort. And you have a lot. You have over 200 small phone funders, people who've helped. How can people make a contribution to help you provide this great opportunity for kids?
They can go to jplmuseum.org, and on there is a donate page. We use Square, and so it'll take them to a Square store, and they can make a donation of whatever amount. There's the rural schools, there's the radios program, there's the ability to help me preserve my father's documents and artifacts.
Very good. James Loftus, JPLMuseum.org, folks. Help us out. I'm glad you did. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. I really hope you enjoyed that interview with James Loftus of the JPL Museum in Staten, Oregon. And here's why. Because this is how we can truly offer opportunities and hope for some of these kids who are in some of these rural areas. You know, this show's about politics, right? And a cup of coffee. You think about how so many rural areas of Oregon have been disadvantaged because of political issues, political decisions made the state of Oregon, having to do with natural resources and how we farm, how we graze and ranch, how we mine. All of those things have been negatively impacted, logging, by political decisions. I mean, look at timber unity, right? How all of these loggers and farmers and ranchers came together to finally stand up in a really powerful way to scare the living daylights out of the ruling Democrats who were going to force their radical far leftist agenda that would have destroyed rural economies even worse than they already are destroyed. Previous decisions. They came together. Well, that's what this radio's program does. The Rural Schools Initiative program. They're two separate programs, but they work together, friends. It gives these kids hope. From rural schools who frankly have no hope. Some of these kids are very, very bright. And they can become engineers. They can become the next Norm Caffey, the father of robotics at NASA, who's for 2 years in a row has been out to Oregon. And now we're bringing Jim McBaron, the guy who made all of these spacers. These people have had incredible impacts in the future. And they came from rural areas of the country. Astronaut John Glenn. So this is what we're offering you the opportunity to do. Because you know what, friends? We're not taking any money from the schools themselves. We're doing this with grants and personal donations from so many people. Over 200 individuals, people like you and I, have donated to the JPL Museum for these programs. It's powerful. It makes a real difference in these kids' lives. And as James says, it acts as the opportunity to change the trajectory, to use a NASA space term. Change the trajectory of these kids' lives. So go to jplmuseum.org. I want to encourage you to do this. If you want to help make this program even better next year, this is your opportunity. jplmuseum.org. Now, I'm going to be completely transparent with you folks, since I talk a lot about transparency and its impact in Oregon. But I also sit on the board of the JPL Museum. And the intersection of this opportunity for Oregon Connections Academy students and others, but online students out of Orca, over 350 of them are going to participate in the radios program. These live interactive broadcasts with Space Center Houston. I helped make that happen, and I'm not tooting my horn here, but I'm just telling you, as a board member and the founder of Oregon Connections Academy, I saw the opportunity when James talked to me about this. And I said, this is exactly what kids that are learning online from all over the most rural parts of the state, this is exactly what could be incredibly beneficial to them. And that's how I got us all together, and that's how this program has evolved. But you know what? None of it would have been done if Orca and Laura Dillon and her team had not been willing to entertain this as a concept, as an idea, something beneficial to their kids. And frankly, none of it would have happened had James Loftus not had a passion to do this for kids. He grew up at Space Center Houston, folks. He did. As a kid, he knew the incredible impact this had in his life and other people's lives. And he's wanted to make that part of the future for so many Oregon students. This is powerful. So go to jplmuseum.org, make a donation, because it's going to make a difference. All right, so I hope that this has been an interesting show for you, because I want to get back to our main topic of the day, and that has been this whole red flag law. This story today about this former Marine who had his guns taken away because he supposedly made threatening remarks. And the red flag law was used, and he surrendered his guns. Okay? This is very worrisome. Now, it's worrisome because this guy has had some, like many Marine veterans, many veterans, period, who've had PTSD, and they've sought help from the VA, as they should seek help from the VA in dealing with these issues. Now, you see, he also received disability payments for physical and psychological injuries he sustained from two tours of duty in Iraq, and that's what the records show. So he was even committed to the Veterans Hospital in Portland, where he spent 20 days. All right. So is this an appropriate use of the red flag law? Or was he simply stating what Art said earlier on the show, folks? Art's a blind guy. He's a great conservative. He said he's going to go out and buy an AR-15. Now, you would think, why would a blind guy, you heard me question him, why would a blind guy need an AR-15? And he had the perfect response. What if Antifa is mobbing and breaking down my door? What if we get to one of these Mad Max scenarios? I mean, who knows what happens? Maybe little Rocket Man finally does develop a nuclear weapon, or the mullahs in Iran develop nuclear weapons that can put on ICBMs and they nuke us. If you got a bunch of people, a mob coming after you, like we've seen some mobs, like the Antifa mobs in downtown Portland, is a handgun, is a shotgun going to work? But more importantly, doesn't even a blind guy have a right to own a gun and to defend himself? And by virtue of the fact that he stated that on this radio show, which is podcast, by the way, at kslm.news, click on podcast, go to Political Coffee, you can see the shows. By virtue of the fact that he said this on the air, does that make him a potential candidate for someone complaining under Oregon's red flag law? This is scary things, folks. These are the kinds of things that we need to talk about, that you should talk about with the persuadables. That's what I talk about every day on the show. Persuade the persuadables. And I hope that I give you thoughtful comments and ideas and talking points to consider. Because the only way we're going to change this state is lots of prayer and each one of us doing our part to persuade the persuadables. Where does the right to own a gun to defend yourself intersect with your right of free speech to say you're going to defend yourself? Where does that fit in with laws that are well-meaning and are meant to protect us? We're going to talk about it more because it ain't going away, folks. Thanks for joining us today. Be blessed, each and every one of you out there. Be determined, pray, and be determined to make a difference. We'll see you tomorrow on Freedom Friday.